Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
50, Bentley, Right back at it on the Fan in New York. I'm hanging out, taking calls, watching the Knicks game. The Knicks are starting to get it back a little bit. It's 74-67 as we go to commercial break. It seems like whatever they talked about at halftime, they're like, yo, we can't lose another third quarter. Like, we absolutely just blew the second quarter. We have to come out with the right energy here. It's a good game. It is a good game. 888-808-1019. We're talking Juan Soto and the Mets right now. Obviously, the Mets lost back-to-back games to lose the series. But, silver lining, Juan Soto looked like the guy you paid for. Juan Soto looked like the superstar that he is. Let's hear what Juan Soto had to say after the game. You know, you would think that after he hit two home runs, his first Citi Field home run, his first two-homer game as a Met, there'd be a little pressure off of a, you know, he'd be relieved a little, you know, get the monkey off your back, as some would say. Go ahead and play that, Connor.
What pressure? I mean, I don't have any pressure. These guys, I mean, Mendoza has been really clear with me to make me feel comfortable and going out there and play. I don't have any pressure at all, so it's just two homers that weren't enough to get the win, so whatever.
So I like that he gave credit to Mendoza, his manager, right? Because as much as we talk about Juan Soto and we try to analyze his teammates, we try and analyze what the clubhouse is like, we have no idea. We're not in there. But I do think that Mendoza, and he chose to go be a Met and be under second-year manager Carlos Mendoza. I do think that Mendoza talks to all of his players and has meetings with all of his guys one-on-one. And he said, you know, there's no pressure on him. There's no pressure on him. But when he ended that with the whatever, that's a little bit of a sign that, like, it's got to him. Can we play that again? You know, somebody, and I know we don't have the question, but I think the question was posed to Juan Soto as far as saying something along the lines of, like, you know, are you feeling less pressure? Let's play that again. Juan Soto, are you feeling less pressure now? Or, you know, someone asked if today's homers took away any pressure that he had been feeling.
What pressure? I mean, I don't have any pressure. These guys, I mean, Mendoza has been really clear with me to make me feel comfortable and going out there and play. I don't have any pressure at all, so it's just two homers that weren't enough to get the win, so whatever.
So in my live chat, Luis writes, Soto has played for four teams. He's been in two leagues, two World Series, won a World Series, was in the last World Series, been to 43 postseason games, and they're asking him about pressure on May 1st. He says, New York reporters, man, like, New York reporters read Twitter like us. New York reporters are fans like us, even though they're media and they're supposed to be neutral. They're thinking and you know, asking what fans would ask. But it's funny. Juan Soto doesn't have any pressure on him. He's got the richest contract in sports history. Like, the pressure was to get there. There's no pressure at 2:30 in the afternoon in Queens on Thursday, May 1st. He hit the two homers. And if you even go back to his struggles, the you know games and series and weeks before, this is a guy that just told you, like, you know, there's no pressure. I'm just not performing the way that I want to perform or that you expect me to perform as a $700 or $765 million man. Let's go to Rich and Beth Page. What's up, Rich? You got it.
Hey, Keith. Good to talk to you. My question is, what do you think Juan Soto does after he goes, like, he hits a home run, he does a walk into the dugout, and then he goes into the clubhouse? Is there, like, family in there or something?
Yeah, he goes and he greets.
He doesn't hang out with the guy after his home runs. It is one walk through and then into the clubhouse.
Well, his mom wasn't allowed in the Yankees clubhouse, so she might be camped out in there.
It's strange, no?
It is kind of strange. Like, I don't know. At least we got a bat flip out of him. People have been waiting to see his signature shuffle, but I don't know. I did not catch it with my own eyes. I got to go back and look at it. I've been listening to most of the games, and it was during the middle of the day. But I guess I got to go look. He's disappearing into the, like, he's going down into the clubhouse and not, like, sitting in there.
Home runs. One walk through to the guys, you know, and it's, like, subdued. It's, like, nothing. It's just, like, yeah, what's up? And then into the clubhouse. Both of them. It's weird.
It'd be great if he came out with that Soto OMG sign that they had in spring training that said SOTOMG. That would have been great if he emerges from the clubhouse with a, oh my God.
You're the man, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Rich. 888-808-1019. Yeah, let me pull up the highlights and see, because there is a little bit of conversation about why isn't he shuffling? Okay, we got a bat flip out of him today. But, like, let me watch this homer and see if Juan Soto disappears on his teammates and doesn't even crack a smile. I don't know. I think the clips that I saw were they don't have that far. You got to be watching SNY, watching the game all the way to see. Yeah, the clips that I saw online. I don't know. Are we making something out of nothing? I saw SNY with the shot from the dugout of him flipping the bat, and it seemed like fans gave an extra yeah once he flipped the bat. Like, yeah, he does love us. He likes it here. Sam is in Brielle, New Jersey. Sam, you're up next.
What's going on, Keith? How you doing?
Good. Hanging out. Thanks for calling.
So I wanted to make a point real quick. And well, actually, before I make my point, what you said about Soto not feeling pressure, a lot of the times, like, when you see him, like, the camera will cut to him after a pitch, he'll be laughing and joking with the – or he'll say something to the catcher. He's relaxed with the plate. He's not worried about – he's not stressing. Guy already made his money. He's not worried about anything. And he'll do his job. But that's my point. Lindor's going to do his job. Soto's going to do his job. Pete's going to do his job. And you look at, like, if you compare it to the Dodgers lineup, you got Otani, you got Mookie, and you got Freddie Freeman. The most important part of their lineup last year, arguably in the playoffs, was Tommy Edman and Teoscar Hernandez. Those were the guys that were driving in runs. That you know, other than the big three, these are the guys that you rely on. And today, you know, Soto gets on, Pete gets on, Winker hits a double. The most important part for the Mets lineup for me in terms of winning World Series is going to be Vientos and Nimmo. I mean, after that, after they load the bases, those are the guys that get the back-to-back strikeouts. I mean, these are the guys you need after your big three to drive in your runs.
Yeah, and as we get into the actual season and Juan Soto is performing and you know what you're going to get out of Lindor and Alonso, it's going to come down to those guys. And if they're not doing what they're supposed to do, then that's how you're going to lose games. That's how you're going to come up short.
100%. And Luis Angel Acuña has done a great job of that, being a menace on the base pass, stealing bases and all that. But you know that those three guys are going to do their job. Everyone's talking about Juan Soto, obviously, because of the money and everything. He's going to do his job. I think for me, it's those two guys, and you can throw in Jeff McNeil too if you want, that are going to be the difference in terms of the offense carrying this team to win the World Series.
Win the World Series? Thanks for the call, Sam. 888-808-1019. I know. The World Series is a goal. Your owner put it out there that you should win two out of the next four World Series or something like that. They should
win to grow a
multiple.
Dynasty.
Play that again.
Try to grow a dynasty.
Yeah, it's a dynasty for sure, Juan. I don't know. I can't talk World Series today on May 1st, 888-808-1019. But, I mean, I guess when you had the best record in baseball, when you weren't losing at home, and honestly, if you go back and you scale from June to now, the Mets have been the best team in baseball from June to now, last season to this season. Obviously, you take out the World Series and the fact that they lost in the NLCS. They've won more games and hit better than any other team. Juan Soto can help you if you get there. I was saying last night, get him to October. Get him to postseason opportunities and at-bats. When other guys fold, he's going to have ice in his veins. He's going to be clutch. But like now, you know what I've been doing? I actually know how I can go back and try and watch the game. I'm going to try and watch the recording of the game in real time, because now I got to see, like, does Juan come back to the dugout and say, I'm not celebrating with you peasants? Does he just skip out on the celebration with his team? Maybe there's something to be said about not having an OMG sign. Maybe there's something to be said about, hey, look, we need an OMG sign, so when Juan homers, he's forced to pose. He's forced to smile. You better smile. You better act like you like it here. Chris is in Lynchburg, Virginia, back on the Fan in New York. Hello, Chris.
Hey, long time no talk, man. How you doing?
Good. I mean, I know you smell blood in the water, so here you come.
Yeah, I mean, listen, honestly, whatever happens tonight happens. I mean, I'm kind of rooting for Game 7, but, I mean, if the Knicks take care of it, so be it. I mean, I know for you, for a guy as a Mets fan, you could care less about either team, but I just think Boston would prefer to face the Knicks. I mean, yeah, the Knicks are more talented, but they single-handedly, like, taking care of them three of the four games. I know the last game, I know Tatum, like, pulled it out of his rear end to beat them, but I think at the end of the day, Boston's probably going to beat the Knicks in five, maybe six games, because they're that talented, that better. What do you think?
Yeah, I said, someone called me and they said, what is the percentage that the Knicks can beat the Celtics in the next round? I said, it's 0%. Like, the percentage is, what percentage do I think they can win one game? I think it's 50-50
right.
That they can win one game. Because I've seen the Celtics beat them four different ways without four different players.
Right. And now, like I said, they got a couple days off because game one is not till Monday, so that does help us. And going back to your percentages, while I don't think it's going to happen either, I think Indiana has a better shot of upsetting the Cavs than the Knicks, maybe winning more than one game. So, but obviously they play the games, but I'm just excited to see what happens. But I think the Celtics have a good chance to repeat. So, but anyways, good to talk to you again, Keith.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Chris is a Celtics fan. These Celtics fans have been feeling themselves. I understand. Reigning champs. We watched the Celtics beat them without Jaylen Brown, beat the Knicks without Jaylen Brown, without Al Horford. They've beat them without Kristaps Porzingis, without Drew Holiday. It doesn't matter who's on the floor. They are so deep versus the Knicks not being deep. They shoot the three so well versus the Knicks not defending the three well. It's not a good matchup for the Knicks. Look at Mitchell Robinson. They're going to the hack-a-Mitch strategy, and Mitchell Robinson is knocking down free throws. And the Knicks are up. This is the first time we've seen in this series the Knicks come out of the half. Maybe they listened to Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges was the one to speak up against the minutes. Mikal Bridges says, I didn't see the layup lines. But so far, the Knicks are up 13. Now make it 15, 27-12 to start the third quarter. So that has now put them up 86-73 in the second half. And you know when it's closing time, they have the best closer in the game. So just that quickly, it has come back around. 888-808-1019. Still talking. Knicks, of course, as the game is live. And we're doing this ride-along, watch-along. Mikal Bridges. Oh. I didn't know he was like this. Mikal Bridges just came down and dunked it. Did he dunk that on Cade Cunningham?
One-hand windmill
one
slam.
On Cunningham?
I think it was, yeah.
Oh, my God. I usually don't react like that. That was shocking to me.
He heard all the criticism from everybody. He's going to throw it down.
Mikal Bridges, please show the replay. Bridges, what got into him? He said, I'm tired of hearing about them five picks. I'm tired of hearing about them picks, bro. Let's see this. Josh Hart with the outlet pass. Mikal Bridges. Ooh, on your head. Ooh. Watch her face. Ooh. This is great. This is riveting. This is a fun game.
Even the guys on the Knicks bench couldn't believe it.
Yeah, everybody on the bench got off their feet. They got out of their seats and on their feet. Nobody was expecting that. A game six, Mikal Bridges jam over Cade Cunningham, the quote-unquote best player in the series. Oh, now we're cooking. This is fun. This is a lot of fun. David is in West Point on the Fan. What's up, David?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Yeah, so listen, I'm happy. I'm a Celtics fan. But I'm happy that the Knicks
back
are doing
to back
well.
Celtics fans. This is what's going on here. We're about to, the Celtics fans smell blood in the water, but not so fast.
But so here's my question to you: and if the Knicks didn't make the trades they did last year, do you think the Knicks would be in any different position they're in right now? In other words, like we talk about, you know, possibly being able to pick up the Greek Freak next year, the Knicks will have such a slim chance because they've got real no draft capital to trade away. Do you think if they didn't make those trades, they'd be any different position right now and they'd still have more draft capital to make the team better next year?
I'm trying to envision them with Julius Randle, who has been instrumental for the Timberwolves, Dante DiVincenzo. They probably still have Jericho Sims. And Mitchell Robinson, obviously. They wouldn't have Karl Anthony Towns. I don't know. I don't think they'd be any better. I don't think they'd be. They'd be in the same position, probably. Maybe they would have closed the game out at home. Maybe it would have been Knicks in five, not six.
Right, but they'd have all this draft capital to make the team better next year versus just being.
Oh, no, I'm thinking with Mikal. I'm thinking out without Cat. I don't know. They shouldn't have made the Mikal trade, but here we are. And I think that was, like I said again, so much hype about getting the Villanova guys together, especially with Bridges being in the city as a Net and him being vocal about, like, oh, yeah, it's not fun to have your arena be taken over. You know, you feel like
nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You're the away team in your home arena. Duh. Like, are you dumb? Are you dense? Like, are you not aware? Like, the Barclays Center hasn't even been over there 15 years. The Knicks have been in the middle of Manhattan for, like, people's entire lifetimes. Most of our entire lifetimes.
Yeah. I just, you know, like I said, I'm a Celtics fan, so it doesn't weigh heavy on me. I just think about, I like the competition. I grew up in New York, so even though I'm a Celtics fan.
They made these moves to compete with you. That was the whole thing, right? Like, the Knicks made these moves with the thought that they'd be able to compete with the Celtics. Like, there was a narrative that Mikal Bridges could guard Jason Tatum. There was a narrative that, like, when they, okay, now they got Cat to, like, I don't see it. But, like, that was the thought that, like, these moves were made so that the Knicks could take the next step and it would be them and the Celtics, right? They did not think that the Cavaliers were going to come out of nowhere with Kenny Atkinson and be the one seed. They thought the Celtics would be the one seed. They'd be the two seed meeting the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, 2020 is high. You know, I mean, listen, it's easy to look back on things and say, well, now we know what we know. But, I mean, even, listen, I just can't imagine making these trades. Do you really think Mikal Bridges can cover Jason Tatum? Like, do you
no.
think that that's...
No, hey, I ain't seen it.
And look at what you gave away to get Mikal Bridges. I just don't get it. And
they got fleeced. They had to. And you know what it is? If you're a collector, and I've been making this analogy, if you're a collector and you go to these auctions, the price is a little bit higher, but you'll pay that price because you have you know, the three other pieces of the foursome. That's what it was. And then I didn't understand, once you get the foursome together, you give away a piece. So it's like, I don't know.
I always appreciate your opinion on these things. I love listening to you, and I drive for a living, so I listen to you later into the night than we're listening to you right now. But thanks for everything, and I appreciate you taking my call, man.
Thank you, David. 888-808-1019. I don't know everything. I know a little bit about everything, though. Like, I watch all this stuff. I watch basketball. I watch baseball. I watch football. Hell, I started watching the NHL and the Devils because I became a host on The Fan. I'm starting to watch the Red Bulls now, too. I'm about to start picking up on the MLS. I mean, it's, you know, it's just sports for me. And it's the most entertaining thing for me. I don't watch Netflix. I don't have a streaming series. You guys have heard me go through this 100 times. My wife made me watch White Lotus, and every Sunday night, by the time we get to 9:30, I'm like most of my callers in the middle of the night. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, hell yeah. My bad, I was watching the game. Keith McPherson on The Fan. The Knicks just lost their only challenge. They tried to challenge OG Anunoby and Dennis Schroeder, kind of getting tossed up there, kind of getting tangled up there, and, you know, OG tossed him. Indeed, that will probably come back. There'll be something that happens in the fourth quarter here that the Knicks will need to challenge. I'm not mad at it. But it's just like you can kind of see the writing on the wall. The Knicks are up, though. They're up 11. Let's see. Schroeder's at the line, though. So he can make this a 10-point lead. I'm not mad at it because, you know, these coaches are going at it. If you're watching the game, the refs are trying to back off J.B. Bickerstaff. They're trying to back off Tom Thibodeau. And these guys are fighting for their teams. The Knicks don't want to play another game. And Detroit won't have another game if they lose tonight. 888-808-1019. We're halfway through my five-hour KM to AM. You know, we've had some conversation about Julius Randle, and when Julius Randle was here, he had it tough, you know, from the way fans were, like, ripping down his poster at Madison Square Garden, and, you know, he had the thumbs down. I remember him hitting the laptop out of the coach. It was always contentious with Julius. And then when Mikal Bridges became a Knick, Julius posted an image of Mikal Bridges' jersey being up in the team store and his own jersey not being there. Like, this guy hasn't even taken a shot yet as a Knick. They're selling his jersey, and all that I've done for this organization, I'm part of the organization coming back to life. Well, everything happens for a reason. Happy for Julius Randle. He just celebrated the birth of his first daughter. I think now he has 3 kids, two little boys and a daughter. His wife posted the video of him in the hospital with an air mattress, a huge air mattress. He's a big, big dude. He's in there laid up with the air mattress, a laptop. He's watching film on the Lakers, and he's got the normatic, like, hyperbaric chambers on his legs to recover. So, like, not only was he balling in this series, he wasn't sleeping at home. He's sleeping in the hospital with his wife and his newborn baby. But I'm guessing, like, this video came out today, so maybe he got to sleep there last night after the series was over. I don't know. Either way, you know, kudos to him, props to him. Just trying to show him love. I know what that experience is like. Anyone that's had a kid knows what that experience is like, spending those, you know, 3 days in the hospital. Would not want to be playing in the NBA during that. 888-808-1019. I do want to go to Timberwolves head coach Chris Finch and what he had to say about Randle. And then I might even find the audio where Dante DiVincenzo is with Ant-Man in the postgame. And Ant-Man kind of talks about what, yeah, I got that too. So we'll cue both of these up right now. It's just something to kill time for the Knicks fans. And maybe you've heard it if you're deep into NBA Twitter, or maybe not, because I know this is radio, this is not Twitter, but I think these audio clips are important, you know, just for fans that talk a lot about what this team, like, we just had a conversation about, you know, what this team would be if they still had Julius Randle, if they still had DiVincenzo and they never made the cat trade, or, you know, what they'd be like. Like Bridges, not for nothing. Bridges is balling tonight in a closeout game. He's going to quiet a lot of his critics and haters if they close it out and he has a dunk on Cunningham's head in Detroit. And I know he's got over 20 points. Let me see now if he's closer to 30 or 20 yet. He's got 23 points. 1-3. That dunk is the play of the game. He's plus 15. So I'm just saying, if Mikal Bridges, like, now he's heating up. He's got the dunk. He just hit the three. He's looking like he's, like, in the flow of the game. And it's 51.6 seconds left in the third quarter. Knicks are up 10. Let's play Julius Randle getting just, you know, showered with love and adulation. Just, you know, his head coach giving him some props for what he did in the series as the Timberwolves defeat the Lakers in five.
I'd also just like to say that Julius Randle was absolutely huge in this series, man. Another guy who's had a lot of unfair criticism in his career, and he was outstanding at both ends of the floor, and, you know, we don't win this series without Julius. Was consistently great every single night, just doing a lot of little things as well as timely things, so.
So, yeah, and, you know, he kind of alludes to, you know, Julius has had a lot of unfair criticism in his career. Where does that unfair criticism come from? New York, New York. It comes from the fans and the media right here. But Julius Randle, this guy's a veteran. This guy played defense, scored the basketball, and was definitely a huge part of the Timberwolves advancing in five games against the Lakers. I'm looking at this video, like Luka trying to guard Randle, no shot. And, you know, I talked as well about Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart with the putback dunk. Dante DiVincenzo, he's staying in Minnesota too. Let's play Anthony Edwards, number one pick, face of the franchise, the Ant-Man, talking about Dante DiVincenzo and, you know, what he sees and what he helps him do. I've referenced this twice on The Fan this week.
That's because of my boy right here. Dante does a great job of coming and telling me, like, what they're doing out there defensively, because sometimes I don't really recognize it. And when he gets in the game, he makes it easier for me, for sure, because he tells me, like, ASAC, they overplaying the back door right now. So just being able to read the game and then having teammates that looks out for you, I think that's the best thing about it.
That's great. I mean, it's not great that Ant-Man is such a good player, went to the Olympics, has like Adidas endorsements, Prada endorsements, all these different Sprite endorsements, and he's telling you that sometimes I don't know how to read the defense, sometimes I don't see the defense, but Dante DiVincenzo does, and that's why I said, you know, Dante DiVincenzo's high basketball IQ can be like a coach on the court, but also is tough, is also like with the smoke, like, when he's out there, we saw him getting into it with Embiid last year. We saw him getting into it with Isaiah Stewart this year. He's not getting punked. He's not afraid of anybody. Delaware Jordan, Dante DiVincenzo, a.k.a. the Big Ragu. 888-808-1019 as we now head into the fourth quarter. I told you guys to breathe in, exhale, think positive thoughts, woo-saw, all of that. Clear your head a bit. The Knicks are up 11 going into the fourth quarter. Closing time. Time for you to go home. So just finish your whiskey or beer. This is it. This is it. Not trying to jinx it. But I know who I want to take me home. It's over. It should be. Again, no funny stuff. Not trying to troll. Not trying to make it backfire. It's just they're up 11. You have the most clutch player in the game. You have Karl Anthony Towns, who in this game, not for nothing, I said this in the beginning, if it ain't Karl Anthony Towns, let it be somebody else. I said Karl Anthony Towns had to get 25. Brunson had to get 25. Brunson's got 30. But if Karl isn't having his way, somebody else step up. Okay, Bridges is going to have the 25. OG Anunoby's probably going to, if he gets one more bucket, he's going to have over 20 points. Josh Hart has 11. So obviously, they're keying on Cat because the last time that they won in Detroit, it was all Cat. And it was Cat down the stretch. But this is a team. This is a series. You give them different looks. You throw different things at them. Game to game, it changes. And Let's see who rises to the occasion. I would assume it continues to be Brunson. But let's see. Somebody's going to rise from Detroit as well. As I look at their box score, Cade Cunningham, the best player in the series, he's got 19 to lead them. Actually, Malik Beasley's got 20 off the bench. He's their leading scorer. Jalen Duren's got 11. Tobias Harris has 12. Asar Thompson has 10. Tim Hardaway Jr., just 2 points. A negative 20. He's minus 20. Oh, no. They're going to point at him. Former Knick. If this thing goes where I think it's about to go, they're going to point at Tim Hardaway Jr. and say, it's his fault. And Knicks fans are going to say, yeah, that's payback for that $72 million you got off of us. Don't you love sports? Don't you love the narratives and the storylines and how things play out? You don't know. That's why I came in here today. I came in here today and I was going to talk to the Mets fans in my open about Juan Soto and how do you feel? Okay, all this talk about Juan Soto, all this talk about, yeah, you know, they're winning, but we can't really enjoy it because, like, you know, our new shiny toy isn't really all that it's cracked up. I mean, like, how did it feel watching Soto hit two home runs and the rest of the team not come through? Is that what you prefer? No, I think you prefer to win. I think you prefer to take the series and keep winning at home. Well, I listen to Tommy a little bit, and I listen to Evan and Tiki a little bit, and I'm just like, I don't think they're losing tonight. I said Knicks in six from the beginning. Yay, finish it out so I can be correct. It's always good when you're right. It's always good when you're right. It's always good when you can come back to it. And I'm not even that type. I don't go back. They love to hit you with the freezing cold takes, old takes exposed, but I don't know how many right takes I've had that just they just go in and out of people's ears, and they go, you know, they go out into the internet, and they never get retrieved. You never get credit for your takes aging well. But I've had a few in this Knicks series, and I'm not a Knicks fan. 888-808-1019. Bobby and Belmore on the fan. Hello, Bobby.
Yeah, two quick things. Number one, I wonder if Soto's going to play right field at the stadium when he goes to the stadium. That would be interesting.
Of course. It's a short right field.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll play right. I'm sure he's going to want to play right field. He's not going to be afraid of anything. But anyway,
they're not going to throw batteries at him. He'll be all right.
Yeah, I don't think they will, but who knows? All it takes is one knucklehead. But anyway, as far as the Knicks are concerned, if they hold on, I thought they would lose a couple games in the series too, so I'm not surprised. But they have to win one of the first two. They're not winning 4 out of 5 against Boston. You know, maybe they get them the first game, or you know, they'll be a little rusty, or maybe you know, Holiday is not. You know, maybe he'll still be injured, and Brown maybe he won't be 100%. But I know they haven't beaten the Boston all year, and but if they have any shot in this series, they got to win one of the first two in Boston, or it's over. They're not winning 4 out of 5.
Thanks for the call, Bobby. 888-808-1019. I'm not ready to go there yet. This series isn't done. We will have plenty of time to talk. Like, if the Knicks end this game tonight, the rest of the night is going to be talking about the Celtics. Let's get there. Let's not jinx it. Because the Pistons have hit some shots here. And they're about to play this last 11 minutes for their season, for their lives. And depending on the way the whistle goes and the way that ball bounces, it's not done yet. Knicks have 96 points. Make it 98 now. Mikal Bridges. Is that Bridges or Payne? I think that was Payne. But yeah, anyway, we're about to go to break here. But what I was saying is I'm not ready to go into the Celtics matchup yet, but we have time. We will later tonight. Let's not jinx it. I think it's over, but once it's over, I'll take your calls on how I think they... I've already told you I don't think they match up well. No one thinks they match up well against the Celtics. But then what you said about Juan Soto. Is Juan Soto... Like, you pay Juan Soto all that money. You took Juan Soto from the New York Yankees. Carlos Mendoza used to be on the bench with the New York Yankees. When he's filling out the lineup for May 16th, I don't think he would have the audacity, the gall. I don't think he would even think about saying, let's DH Juan Soto in this first game. No, he plays right field, and he has experience playing right field in Yankee Stadium from last year. It's a short right field, which helps him as well. Yeah, I would expect to see Juan Soto in right field in Yankee Stadium all three games. And what's the worst that's going to happen? F Juan Soto. F Juan Soto. Hey, Juan, you suck. Whatever. Yankee Stadium has top flight security. Nobody's going to do anything to Juan Soto. And if you think Juan Soto cares about that, he doesn't. If anything, that's going to make Juan Soto better. He's going to lock in. I was saying last night, I'm like, All right, if he doesn't turn it on by Cinco de Mayo, which he turned it on today, count it. If he struggles, you know where he's going to turn it on? When he gets back to the Bronx in that atmosphere and he's on the other side. Okay, I'll see you on the other side of this break. Dial 888-808-1019. KM to AM returns right after this. Okay. Right back at it on The Fan in New York. It's already almost 10. I mean, time flies when you're watching the sports, you're talking to sports, you're taking the calls, you're listening to the show. Hopefully you're having as much fun as I am. Keith McPherson on The Fan. 888-808-1019. We're going to talk about the Mets and the Yankees and some things around the Knicks, because incoming, we're going to get a bunch of calls from Knicks fans with their thoughts about this game, assuming that the Knicks do hold on and finish this one. They're up 103-96 with 7:40 left in the fourth. They're going to need a little bit more to hold off the Pistons, but I think they do it. Like I said when I came in here tonight, I'm like, let me talk to these Knicks fans. I think it's good sometimes when you're not a fan of the team playing. Look at Brunson with 32 points. Go ahead and get 40. You know, I think it's good sometimes when you're not a fan of the team to, like, you know, weigh in and give the outside perspective, because sometimes your fandom can blind you, can sway your thoughts and make you feel different things. I know Knicks fans have had so much disappointment, they're ready for more disappointment. And I'm like, it's coming, just not tonight. Not tonight. 888-808-1019. Same with Yankee fans, right? So much disappointment in the last few years as far as not getting to a World Series and win it. Like, we were there last year. I had fun last year. As the Knicks turn the ball over, that's what you need to not happen. But, you know, we took a call about the Mets winning the World Series, and I'm like, I'm not there on May 1st. I don't know who's winning the World Series. I don't know who's going to the World Series. But there's already the conversation around Aaron Judge in the World Series. There's already the conversation around Aaron Judge having the best start to a season. You know, I put out a tweet last night, quote tweeting, you know, Judge's stats and, you know, what he's doing. And I said, Aaron Judge can't be stopped. And some girl responded and quote tweeted, and she said, until October. Yeah, reminder. So, you know, they're going to say that until they can't say that. But I really feel in my bones that, like, the Yankees don't need to have the perfect team. They clearly don't have the perfect rotation. Honestly, I'd put money on the Yankees next year when Cole is back with Max Fried. Who knows? But if this Yankee team, when you look at the American League, nobody scares me in the American League. You could tell me the Detroit Tigers are good this year, the Seattle Mariners are good this year, the Cleveland Guardians beat the Yankees, but in a series in October, if Aaron Judge is performing like Aaron Judge, it's a huge if, but if this is the year after all of the embarrassment, after having his first kid, after Juan Soto leaves and goes across town and says that he thinks he's got a better chance of winning over there, if this is the year that Juan Soto can actually, if this is the year that Aaron Judge can actually perform in the postseason like he does in the regular season, that alone could propel the Yankees to the World Series and maybe a victory. 888-808-1019, my guy Jules in Oakland on The Fan. What's up, Julian?
Hey, Keith, how's it going? Thanks for taking my call. I've been a little while, but definitely been an interesting start for the Yankees. A little up and down, but, I mean, they are in first, all things considered. I definitely want more patience for Devin Williams. Hopefully people can start to come around a little bit. And same thing with Jason Dominguez. Like, I want to see him play more. I know Grisham is making that tough a little bit, but I just thought, like, he should have played against the righty and not against the lefty. I thought that was really weird.
Yeah, as the Knicks are starting to fold a little bit here, now it's a one-basket game. It's just like, you can't, no lead is safe. The Detroit Pistons just went on a 12-2 run. But let's go back. Couple things.
Oh, no.
Devin Williams, right? You and I have talked about Devin Williams, and we agree that, like, in there, and you and I go to games, so you understand how, like, I've never booed a Yankee. I don't think you go there to boo the Yankees. You're never chanting for anybody else on the field. Like, we're there to pick them up. Two strikes, two outs. Let's clap. Let's yell. Let's try to, like, will them to, you know, get the strikeout, get the last out. That's what Devin Williams needs when he comes back to the Bronx. Last time out in the Bronx, not good. But he's going to pitch. He's going to pitch in this. There's six games at home. He's going to go out there and pitch. It's not going to be in a closing situation, but I am begging fans to, like, not be against him, even if he does fail, because it's just going to set the guy back. And now Jason Dominguez as well. Jason Dominguez, I'm not exactly sure. What it is, like you said, Trent Grisham has been awesome this year. And when you put Trent Grisham out there, you think defense, but what he's done at the plate, it's like, how do you not put him out there as much as you can? Like, how do you not have him as your everyday starting center fielder? And when you do that, right, Cody Bellinger hasn't been so great. When you do that, you feel like you upgrade the lineup and the defense. So then when he's in center field, you got to kind of play the matchups. You could put Cody in left. You could put Dominguez in left. But Dominguez has struggled a bit, but I feel like he's a rookie and he needs at-bats and opportunities. And I think they need to continue letting him hit from both sides of the plate. I've gotten some calls, people saying, oh, he shouldn't be switching. I'm like, nah, he's young, man. Let him see major league pitching from both sides. I was listening to Dave Sims say that he's top 10 in multiple statistical categories for rookies. I got to go look into that actually to pull the numbers. But yeah, I'm right there with you on Devin Williams and Jason Dominguez. It's now May. We're in the second month of the season. It is going to be consistently warm now. It's go time.
Yeah, you're going to start to see things that make more sense now. Like the first month was kind of an aberration. Like the second month, you kind of start to see what's real. And then like as the months go on, you figure out what's legitimate and what's not. Definitely a bigger concern than those two even is the five spot in the starting rotation is a mess. Like I think they should give someone a look in the minors. Like even a guy like Sean Boyle who's been grinding there for a while because Carrasco's not it right now. I'm definitely concerned about that every fifth day. And Warren I think will be okay, but he might need a little more time. He's only pitched like 50 MLB innings still, and people want to say he's a failure too, which I really disagree with.
Yeah, I talked about like how many major league starts does Will Warren even have under his belt? He's a young guy figuring it out. He had a good spring, but like it's tough to carry that over. And he's playing for the Yankees. There's just like there's a lot on this guy. But you bring up a name in Boyle, and it's like I don't know exactly. I know you follow the minor leagues, and you probably have a better vantage point. I think Bruce
Winhouse
and Flushing
is another guy too that you could consider. There's either of them instead of Carrasco right now, to be honest.
Okay, because I think that's where we're going next. But then what do? We send Will Warren down? We cut Carlos Carrasco?
I would say you keep Warren and you cut Carrasco. Let Warren have more time to see if he can do it. If he can't figure it out in like the next five or so, or like 3 to 5, then like, you might want to think about it, I guess. Because like, I don't know, it's tough. Their options are thin, and Luis Hill's a long way away.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for the call, Jules. 888-808-1019. Well, I did go and look it up. I think I said what... maybe either talking to John Harper or somebody this week. I'm like, Will Warren has made 11 or 12 starts. He's 6 last year, and now he just got to 6 this year. So he's been in 12 games for the New York Yankees. He is very young, and I don't know what they do. If they keep having these outings where you can't rely on Carlos Carrasco, you can't rely on Will Warren, you're not exactly sure what you're going to get out of Clark Schmidt. Luckily, Rodon has tightened up, and obviously Max Fried has been the best signing in the offseason. I don't know. I just think the Yankees have a lot more patience than us. They're going to keep going. And I think in the next month, you could see Luis Hill. I know he had a setback, but they're expecting him to come back in June. Whatever. It's tough to see them lose series. Here comes a homestand. They should sweep Tampa, but take 2 out of 3. And then there's going to be a real test against the San Diego Padres. Okay, it's 10 o'clock. The Knicks are tied. I don't know. I said I didn't want to jinx anything. I still think they're going to win, but... never easy with the New York Knicks. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back.